pray for your guidance, for your direction. Lord, we pray for insight into your word. And Lord, that you would encourage us with not only the creation moment, but also with what you have for us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would use my voice to be your voice. And Lord, I pray that you would move all the things that are cluttering my mind out of the way, and so that it could be just you. Lord, we pray now for your blessings and for your Spirit to move in our hearts so that we're different from when we came in. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the creation moment. Chocolate. You knew it was coming from sooner or later. But, you know, we're going to be, inundated. We're going to be, you know, all the things that go on around this time of year. It's chocolate, fudge. I mean, there's all kinds of goodies that come out around this time. So I just thought that we need to clarify some things, because too often we think that chocolate is a junk food. However, new research, on special fronts reveals that chocolate should probably be reclassified as a health food. Yeah. Research, and this is true too, research shows, I'm not just making it up, research shows that the beans from which chocolate is made contain large amounts of antioxidants called flavonoids, found in tea and other foods. These substances have been linked to reduced risk of cardiovascular disease. These flavonoids are present in high enough quantity in the chocolate you buy at the store to produce measurable results in scientific studies. A single gram of chocolate milk has 10 milligrams of antioxidants. If you like dark chocolate, you'll be more than doubling your dosage of antioxidants. While some 4,000 natural flavonoids have been identified, the types found in chocolate are among the most powerful known. They are even more effective than the antioxidants found in vitamin C. Yeah. Now, am I getting somewhere here now? Other flavonoids in chocolate have been found. Yeah. Other chocolates, flavonoids in chocolate have been found to relax the inside of blood vessels that lowers the blood pressure. Chocolate flavonoids have also been found to work as mild aspirin would help thin blood. They also help keep the platelets from breaking, which happens when they get too sticky. If all these benefits aren't enough, chocolate has been also known and found to raise good cholesterol. Hallelujah! Chocolate may help you have a healthy cardiovascular system in this life, but when life is done, only the blood of Jesus will give you eternal life. Well, I just was excited over that, because now I am eating health food. And people thought I was a junk food addict. Well, anyways, that's just great. Thousands of sermons are going to be preached today on Jesus' birth in preparation for Christmas, and rightly so. Thousands, I know, across the country are going to be preaching about Christmas. But today, I want to follow a different angle. I always do this. I'm just kind of not one to follow the normal. Of course, I'm not normal, so that's why. But the birth of Jesus got a lot of attention in certain groups. And we're going to cover those groups. First of all, the shepherds were notified. The wise men were notified. And Herod was notified. You know, these are the groups that were notified of Jesus' birth, of course, other than Joseph and Mary. But each were alerted to the birth in different methods, different means. The shepherds had the angels that came and opened up the heavens, basically, and shared the news. The wise men saw a star and read the prophecy in a book. Herod was told by the wise men, alerted to Jesus' birth. So, as we look at these three different methods and different groups and one individual, we see some interesting contrasts, and I want to cover those. The first thing that we find is the shepherds, and the shepherds were chosen first. This was immediately after Jesus was born. This is when the angels came to the shepherds out in the fields who were outside the city watching the flocks. And the shepherds were the first ones to be given this information. You know, shepherds are one of the most menial jobs that ever was. They were the lowliest of people. You know, people really didn't want them around. They usually slept out in the fields and they had their tents or shelters to shelter them. But they weren't looked at as very important. In fact, you remember David was a shepherd. And nobody thought he could amount to anything. In fact, he was the last one to come into the house when they were looking for the king. And so David was chosen to lead his people as a king, the king of Israel. Moses shepherded, and later in his years, he shepherded and then led the people of Israel to freedom. Jesus was called the Good Shepherd. It's interesting that shepherds have actually a high place in God's viewpoint. And I want us to go to a scripture to see why. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17:32 in your pew Bibles. 17:32. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. I know it's a lot to get to one verse, and I'm having trouble turning to the page, so it's coming slowly. There we go. All right. Verse 27. It says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." You know, the shepherds weren't anybody. They were nobody. And they went through their lives in obscurity. And so here they are, the most humble of places in society, and yet God lifts them up and makes them something more than what they are. The shepherds, why were they chosen? Because they were open. They were teachable. They were available. You know, we're going to take a step back. And I nearly forgot, but Maggie's going to do a special, and this is the perfect time for it. So I want you to come up and sing that song, because the angels brought the message to the shepherds, and that's what this song that she's going to sing is all about.
Cold and weary with
Breath of heaven, Jesus. And as he grew, he got close to 2 years old. They're not sure exactly how old he was, but approximately 2 years old. Maybe a little younger. That's when the wise men appeared. The wise men, traveling hundreds of miles, maybe even 1,000 miles, to see something that they only read about. They read in the prophecies, and then a star happened to appear. And they were guided by this star. This was not a star that was out of heaven, because this star actually guided them. So we know that this is a star that was created by God to guide these wise men. They left their homes to seek the king, traveling months. Dirty, alone. These men probably traveled with a group, so they weren't totally alone, because it was dangerous on the road, especially with the gifts that they carried. But they traveled nonetheless to find something that they thought, that they had read about, was the king. To find the king. You know, it's interesting to me that they were considered wise men. And I want us to look at a scripture. It's in James 1842. 1842 in your few Bibles, James chapter 3. Verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and secure, peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." This wisdom came from heaven. These wise men weren't wise in their own selves. They sought something because of wisdom that was given them from heaven. They sought to find the king that was told to them about not only through prophecy, but also because of a star that appeared. And they listened to that wisdom. They didn't discard that wisdom. They not only listened to that wisdom, but they acted upon it. And they followed the star months of traveling to Bethlehem. Now, they went to Herod, and we could say that was a mistake, but I think to round out the story and round out the three possible things that can happen as we face the Savior, this third person, Herod, had to be told. The wise men told Herod, but he was only filled with fear, hatred, and pride. He was afraid that this king of the Jews would replace him. That he was afraid that all these things that were happening would overshadow him. He wanted all the glory. And so I want you to go to a scripture that's in Psalms 847 in your few Bibles. Psalm 73. And verse 17. We'll read a couple of the verses here. Psalm 73, verse 17 says, I'll make sure I'm in the right one now. Verse 6, I'm sorry. Back a few verses. It says, "Therefore pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts come iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds knows no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, 'How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?' That is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth." You know, why is it that these people, like Herod, you know, Herod was rich. He had everything. I remember last week I talked about Herod, and he had built for himself marble buildings and houses and palaces and all these things that he had built for himself, along with Caesar Augustus at that time. They were wealthy. They had all the money they could ever want, and then, of course, they wanted more. Herod, but was afraid of a little child who came and was called the king. And Herod did not believe, would not accept the Savior, and he sought to destroy him. He hated the light. So we have in these illustrations two examples of belief and one example of rejection. The angels came to the shepherds. Supernatural revelation. Some of us have experienced that. We've gone through our lives not believing in Christ, and all of a sudden something just hit us. Some spiritual revelation, and we came to Christ. We believed in Him as our Savior. Some, through prophecy, the written word, found themselves the Bible. We read the things. We saw what God said in His word, and we believed because of that. But some in the world have rejected. Satan has filled them with hatred. They reject Jesus, His birth, and His salvation. You know, Galatians speaks about that. In 1773, in your few Bibles, Galatians chapter 5, right after Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other." You know, we find in the world that they fight Christianity. They fight Christmas. You've noticed it. Happy holidays becomes the normal term of greeting now. Happy holidays. You see it in commercials now. Happy holidays. The birth is obscured by buying gifts and eating turkey and all the things that we do around this time, getting busy. In fact, I was at the store just this morning and was talking with John, and he said, "You know, it's just too bad that this time of year is flooded with commercialism." And I agree. Because commercialism is one of Satan's ploys. Because Christmas points to a Redeemer. Christmas points to a Savior. And Satan does all he can to hide it, to diminish it, to trash it. We're here to proclaim it. That's what we're here for. Christians are to proclaim it, no matter what the opposition, no matter what embarrassing times or moments we have, we're here to proclaim it. When you go through the line at a store and they say, "Happy Holidays," tell them Merry Christmas, right? You know, we need to point to the birth of Christ. Not because it's a fun time of year, because we're going to get gifts and we're going to give gifts and we're going to have turkey and we're going to have the Christmas tree and the decorations and all those things. That's not the reason. The reason is because Jesus was born the Savior of the world. That's what He told the shepherds. Go see this thing that's happened. He's the Savior of the world. He's something to celebrate. It's something that we should be proclaiming from the rooftops. So whenever you write your Facebook entries or your tweets or your texting or whatever you might do, proclaim it. Say Merry Christmas to people. Write it out in Facebook and let people know this is the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating because it's a time of giving gifts. That's what Satan wants us to blow it into, to turn it into. It's a time of commercialism and running here and there and not thinking about what the reality is. Two examples of belief. The shepherds, lowly and humble. But God came to them. Because He wanted to use the people who were available and humble enough to be used. The wise men, you know, they could have had a lot of pride in their wisdom, but they humbled themselves and they believed the prophecy and they followed that star hundreds and hundreds of miles to see the birth of the King, to see who it is, the King of the Jews. and Herod rejected. We need to be reminded that not all people believe in it. And they're going to try and destroy it. They're going to try to throw it out. And we have to fight against that. We're here to do that. Until the Lord removes us by the rapture, or we pass away, with every breath we have, proclaim the birth of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. We're going to